is based on your teacher. Shawl is an interesting case, but he is approaching the adept tier. That is no doubt. That should give you access to pale blues and below, the yellows, oranges, and reds, etc. Or you can go based on your own potential. The old man paused. Possessing a runic rarity skill set before level 25 qualifies as having the potential to become a pontiff in your lifetime. But the color emerald is not deemed honorable. It is a source of shame for our entire school. The color that failed the world. For that, you will be targeted. To make matters worse, there is another reason to target you, the old man said with a smile. There is such a thing in our world as rainbow hunters. They challenge and kill other spear users, taking their tassel for their collection, aiming for unique and vibrant colors to create a beautiful rainbow collection of tassels. Although the Heart School has green tassels commonly, they are across the world and difficult to encounter. Due to that fact, my tassel is a hotly desired commodity by those who kill others in order to decorate their mantle, Randley said slowly. The old man nodded. Once more, silence descended on the boat. For several seconds, Randley considered what the man told him. Again, his thoughts were interrupted by the old man. It is a good thing, I think, to have pride and to choose your color boldly. It is only the young who can make such foolish decisions because only they have the audacity to survive such idiocy. Randomly decided to take that comment as a compliment, rather than an insult, based on the absent smile on the man's face, and asked, What's your name?
Divot.
And as he said his name, Divot's smile was wide and full. So, Mr. Divot, do I need to worry about people coming to challenge me? Divot chuckled.
Well, no, because technically what will happen is they will challenge the location where your banner stands. As it is my boat and as Shawl is your master, either of us can defend your honor and fight for you. Since we are invincible, you have nothing to fear.
Randomly frowned. Couldn't they attack me while I'm off the boat, then come take my tassel later?
Luckily not. Byzantium made it law that only a duel held under a hanging tassel will enable the winner to collect their spoils from the loser. If they want it, they will come here.
Divot frowned and added,
But if particularly conservative individuals are offended by the emerald choice, they might attack you whenever and dump your body into the sea. But this is likely a small minority, and it will take time for them to hear and have their hearts filled with fury over such a small thing as color. Better focus on the qualifier for now.
Randomly was silent for a moment. Can I win this? How strong will these opponents be? With a long, penetrating glance, Divot looked randomly up and down before finally saying,
Based on what Shawl has told me and what I've seen, you are about as powerful as someone at level 15, although you seem to have gained some strength since the two of you sparred.
Although there was an acknowledgement at the end, Divot's words still chilled randomly. Level 15? A world that was part of the system for a long time certainly held different standards when it came to strength. On Earth, he showed enough power to defeat a level 30 tribulation, and that had been a much weaker version of himself. The people of Tellus likely determined the best path of training, the limits before ether starvation hit, which patrons to use, and raised their warriors to surpass those limits.
Most enemies there should be around your level or a little below. Most of the disciples with any sort of talent have skipped this step anyway and already received an invitation to the tournament. You should likely make it through this portion.
Divot's sentence was a grim one, but Randomly didn't believe it was that worrisome. Are spells or even potions allowed in the melee? Divot nodded slowly, saying,
Well, yes, but most people choose to focus their stats and skills in the single area of the spear. But there are those who choose to be both a spear user and mage. Randy grinned. True, he'd been judged on his ability to use the spear, and been found to only have the strength of someone at level 15. But the Ghost Hound was not simply a spear user. When compared to his library of versatile spells, honestly, his spear moves were somewhat lacking. Randomly made a mental note to talk to Shawl about more spear training. Even if he had the advantage of spells, this was a great chance to raise the level of his spear moves in combat with those near his skill level. Any advice his master could give him would be important at such a juncture. One final thing, Randomly said, and Divot quirked up his eyebrow, curious. Do you know where I can find a cheap armorsmith? After getting an answer from Divot, Randomly walked to the edge of the boat and studied the strange colored water. His face creased in the reflection as he settled his heart. From the messages I've seen when I stop using the potion, the issue of the tribulation is resolved. But there is definitely something they aren't telling me, and the fact that Turtletown got caught in the crossfire. Randomly squeezed the railing with such force his wrist popped. He deliberately calmed himself and forced out a shaky breath. Maybe I could have helped prevent that, but maybe not. I need to focus on what I can do. I'll tell Donnington about where Ace and Sydney are probably located. They will send scouts and make contact. Meanwhile, I need to stay here, both to pay my debt to Shawl, and of course to grow stronger, to find out what happened to this world. Was it always like this? Because if staying in the system will eventually lead Earth to becoming like Tellus. A particularly large wave slapped against the wooden hull of the boat. Granted, they stayed there at the edge for quite a while. It was almost as if his fears flickered underneath the surface of the water, like massive sea beasts he could only catch out of the corner of his eyes. Chapter 44 Claptrap looked broodingly at the short, choppy waves of orange water between his boat and the next. The past several months had not gone as planned. He originally worked as a simple clerk in one of the large merchant associations in the capital of the northern province of the Spearman School, Dearden, content to stand in the sunlight filtering through the window, daydreaming about the day he would become an artisan-level spearman. In his heart, Claptrap always knew it to be an almost impossible dream. Not only did he possess no distinguishing qualities, he also had a rather poor work ethic. The rate at which his spear skills improved was swiftly outstripped by his peers. He had no family who were particularly powerful, and no ties to a powerful style. Claptrap slowly slid sideways from the intense training as a spearman to the more realistic course of becoming a merchant who serviced the spearman. There was an ember of bitterness in his chest, but the idleness of the days and the warmth of the sun sustained him. That was until he met her. The big her with a capital H. Her name was Ciel. And when she first walked through the door of the shop Claptrap worked at, she smiled at him. The rest was history. Over the next 6 months, a fire Claptrap hadn't known himself to possess drove him. He rose from clerk to assistant manager, then finally manager. Through copious research, he became an expert in weapons and armor, able to swiftly determine the value of any high-class materials with just a glance. But regardless of the improvements in his life, Claptrap knew their stations were still far, far apart from each other. Whereas Ciel could afford to purchase his wares as simple training garb due to the generous stipend given to her by her style, Claptrap could only struggle and smile in silence. He had no way to bridge that gap of strength. Ciel was the pampered successor to an influential style. Claptrap might work for an influential merchant association, but he was only a manager of one small store. With that standing, he could not even let her know how he felt. In his excitement, Claptrap confessed his feelings to one of the fellow store managers. He was met with laughter. Only after a solid 20 minutes of knee-slapping did the woman sober up and say, "Oh, you were serious. But she's an actual spear user." Despite the warnings he received from basically everyone in his life, Claptrap left the job track he was on, which was quite stable, but would take a while to come to fruition, and moved to Catal, where the competition required less starting capital, and founded his own merchant association. Of course, referring to it as a merchant association was a little grand at this point. It was just him, and all the savings he'd managed to hold on to between his and his parents' lives, as he was the only child of two individuals who died in a dungeon. Needless to say, things hadn't turned out quite how Claptrap planned. Whereas in Dearden, everyone sought out high-quality armor, there simply wasn't the same amount of upper-class money in Catal. Instead, they wanted cheap and lasting armor, the kind they could buy to protect their life and forget about. All that knowledge Claptrap had about rare materials, processes, and workmanship was worthless. Here, snarky, smooth-talking merchants extolled shit as gold and received the sales, whereas Claptrap's shop received less and less customers. Claptrap, perhaps foolishly, refused to give in. His goal was not to become some two-bit con artist. He still had some money remaining, and his pride. With these, he would continue to struggle until his dream had truly crashed to the...
"Excuse me."
Claptrap jumped, surprised, and turned to find a young man standing in the middle of his boat, curiously looking at him. Blushing furiously, Claptrap stood and bowed slightly. To think he was so lost in his own self-pity he'd missed a customer.
"Hello, sir. How may this one help you today?"
The young man was strange, with a pale pinkish skin that gave Claptrap no clue about his style's rank. Due to the liveliness in his eyes and his confident stare, he definitely couldn't be associated with the Forsaken. Even their energy-sucking infiltrators carried remnants of the past on their shoulders, leaving them in a constant skulk. This man's direct gaze contained none of that. As Claptrap examined him, some of that self-pity returned. The clothes the man wore were quite rough, well-used leathers and furs. The leathers appeared to have been worked by someone who had some idea what they were doing, but they appeared to have gone through hell since. They were crisscrossed with rips and tears. In addition, the man's feet were barefoot. That cemented the sinking feeling in Claptrap's chest.
"No way I can make much money from a trade with him. This month, getting enough for the spearman's tears will be close."
"I'd like to make a trade,"
the young man announced, and produced 3 leather bracers. Inwardly, Claptrap sighed. Ever the professional, he examined the items with a smile.
"Of course, but I have to let you know that I very rarely buy wares from..."
The words caught in his mouth as Claptrap looked down at the bracers in front of him. Because there was engraving on them, in this backwoods town built on the water. Novice's Leather Bracer, level 15. Leather armor worked by a novice, vitality +1, health +8, engraving of dragonfly, 52%, unique. Wearer of the armor moves slightly more quickly when moving with the wind. Wearer gains aspect of dragonfly 1. Aspect of dragonfly 1, reaction +1, agility +1. Novice's Leather Bracer, level 17. Leather armor worked by a novice. Vitality +1, health +13, engraving of bear, 48%, unique. Wearer of the armor is resistant to slowing, stunning, or knockback effects. Wearer gains aspect of bear 1, aspect of bear 1, endurance +1, strength +1. Novice's leather bracer, level 14. Leather armor worked by a novice, vitality +1, health +7, engraving of fish, 40%, unique. Wearer has increased sensitivity to movement and hostility within a small area around themselves. Wearer gains aspect of fish 1. Aspect of fish 1. Perception +1. Wisdom +1.
"These are just some examples of my work," the young man remarked coolly, clearly seeing Claptrap's frazzled reaction. I'm looking to set up a partnership with one of the armor dealers in the area, engraving their wares. If you're interested, we can discuss compensation. Claptrap's eyes were bulging. Although the engraving was at a barely passable level and was of relatively simple runes, it was still engraving. The engraving guilds on Tellus were extremely secretive and selective, and charged ridiculous prices to have their masters work on weapons and armor, basically making sure only the most affluent had access to engraving. A consultation with a member of the engraving guild cost enough liquid life to last the average person a week. In addition, the average person had no interest in pursuing engraving because it took so much investment to reach a level where there was a real, tangible effect on the wearer. Both aspects 1 and 2 were things people would be slightly interested in, but the real power of runes became apparent when they crossed the 80% threshold and the 3 level of the aspect was available. These were all far from that, but with some time and training, the dragonfly engraving could perhaps reach 60%. All of this flashed through Claptrap's mind in a split second. Common engraving like this simply wasn't on the market. No one was doing it because it was basically impossible for an amateur to learn by himself how it worked. That and the guilds didn't want to cheapen engraving by providing this sort of service. This young man was effectively offering Claptrap the opportunity to have a product he would basically have a monopoly on, especially around Catal. Claptrap kept his face studiously casual.
Ah, engraving, I see. Well, that is interesting. I suppose I wouldn't mind using some of my spare profits to invest in you. What sort of deal were you thinking?
The young man gave him a frank look, then glanced around Claptrap's deserted shop. Claptrap lifted his chin and studied the sky, refusing to balk. Finally, the young man chuckled. Well, initially, I would give these as a sample and a deposit. In exchange, you would give me additional pieces of armor to engrave for you, as well as some of the expected profits, so I can purchase some materials. The man tilted his head to the side, and Claptrap noticed for the first time how green the young man's eyes were. They were a strange mixture of cat's eye yellow and forest green.
If we can agree on expected profits, the man finished simply.
Claptrap smiled uncertainly, but with a hint of hope. Maybe this was exactly what he needed to turn his luck around. An hour later, after the young man departed with some of his gold and a dozen steel bracers and chest plates, Claptrap was more ghost than man. Every time Claptrap thought they'd agreed on a price that would be to his benefit, the other man would ask some seemingly inane question about the value of the armor or the leather, or how much other things could be purchased with the value of such a piece of armor. The most chilling of those interactions was when the man looked coolly up from the initial meager amount of cash Claptrap had been willing to front him and simply said,
I suppose with this, I'll be able to buy some blue energy crystals.
Gritting his teeth, Claptrap mumbled out that he must have miscounted and added 3 more silver coins to the pile. This man's intuition was absolutely uncanny. How could he so accurately tell when Claptrap was trying to get the better of him? Finally, the man left with a sigh, as if the whole ordeal left him completely disappointed, although they were able to come to an agreement in regards to price. Seeing that disappointment, there was a part of Claptrap that wanted to offer more, but he managed to bind and gag that part of him. After all, with the money he paid out to the man, if he didn't receive a decent return, and rather quickly, his business would soon be nearing the danger zone.
Friend, what do you call yourself? When many customers ask who the maker of those fine equipments is, what should I tell them?
The man shrugged, his eyes flashing emerald.
Just tell them it was the Ghost Hound.
Chapter 45. Randidly arrived back at Divot's boat, satisfied with the amount of potion materials he managed to obtain from the strange merchant. He honestly had no idea what the currency was worth, and asked increasingly direct questions of the merchant called Claptrap, but he seemed too proud to answer, and at least felt sorry for Randidly, offering him more, as if as a substitute. Honestly, it would have been more useful to just know how much they were worth, but randomly supposed he could be satisfied with just having more money. Shaul was sitting on the boat waiting for him, and as Randidly arrived, his eyes slid open.
Ah, good. You have handled your affairs in case your idiocy kills you. Perhaps I was mistaken about your ability to think. Are you prepared? The melee begins shortly.
Randidly hesitated. He would have preferred an opportunity to brew some potions out of the ingredients he had, but he supposed he already had enough for a single day. Besides, he hoped he wouldn't be forced to go all out, and could instead rely on his own passive regeneration skills, which he suspected were rather rare. This would put the skills under increased pressure and expedite growth. Based on Divot's explanation, Randidly maintained confidence about being able to manage through this round, so he followed Shaul through the long winding walk back towards the strange Colosseum area.
If you survive, we shall have the opportunity to train again for a short time, Shaul said, ignoring the stares as he strode on, carrying Randidly's tassel. I must say, your continued vitality impresses me. I assumed you would have died without my guidance. But fear not, I shall, rid you of all the bad habits you have developed, no matter the cost.
Then Shaul laughed, and Randidly had a sinking feeling in his stomach, more than the melee he was about to be part of. The prospect of the fanatical training of Shaul was far more intimidating. All of the contestants, and there were truly hundreds of them packed into the small area, stood still. Their eyes darted back and forth through their struggle to act casual. Every soul present was coming to terms with the fact they would soon be competing against one another with their lives on the line. For his part, Randidly was slightly bemused. Being in Katal, there was clearly a familiarity with death that wasn't part of his old world. It was also a world that had been part of the system for at least several generations. As such, monsters and dungeons had been pushed back, far away from the places where civilization reigned supreme. Seeing the nervous glint in most of the eyes of those around him, they had fought, but they'd never fought while stricken with the fear that they would die. They had never lost all conscious thought, leaving them with only the stubborn refusal to die. He'd come a long way, but Randidly still vividly remembered stumbling back into that safe room, covered in acid, knowing nothing but fear and the burning pain in his body. It was a chilling memory, and a reminder of how unexpectedly your demise could arrive. As the time they waited continued to stretch onward, Randidly considered whether to make a statement early. Ultimately, he didn't want to deal with the hassle of the attention that would come with it. Sure, using agony would probably debilitate most of the opponents around him, but it would paint a large target on his back. Although Divot seemed to think most of the opponents would only be so-so, that didn't mean they all would be. There was no need to seek those individuals out right now. He would find them soon enough in the actual tournament, where Randidly would have the benefit of at least another month of training with Shaul. Shivering instinctively, Randidly turned his focus elsewhere, just in time to see the large brass doors of their waiting room rumble open. Everyone was on their feet, spears drawn, casting wary stares. An attendant had explained the rules earlier. 10 stages, where only 3 could pass per stage, by remaining on it at the end of 2 hours. After 2 hours, if there were more than 3 people on any particular stage, there would be a 60-second overtime. If they failed to ensure only 3 people left standing at the end of 60 seconds, all present on the respective stage would fail. And as soon as they passed through the door into the main arena area, they would be considered participating and could be attacked at any point by their fellow spear users. Randidly was towards the middle of the group, so he didn't immediately move after the door opened. Soon the people in front of him broke into a trot, running out into the open grounds, and Randidly cautiously followed. Very quickly he began to run just a bit faster than those around him, dodging and weaving. Within a few seconds, he'd burst through the door, arriving within the huge arena. The ground was dirt and the walls rose around him, covered in strange viewing cells. He kept his eyes on the ground. He had no need to pay attention to those cells. Granted, they simply needed to stay down here, among the stages.
Dozens of people were jogging around Randidly, exchanging glances. It was one of the men near Randidly that made the first move, stabbing towards his back with his spear. Almost as if this was a spark on oil, several other small battles erupted around them, as people attempted to sneak attack other competitors and were then sneak attacked themselves. Snorting, Randidly drew his spear and knocked the initiator's spear to the side, and delivered a roundhouse kick to the man's chest. It was easy to see from his movements, he wasn't really that strong. Randidly expected most of the upper-tiered classers from Donnyton could have taken him in a battle. Using Empower, Randidly added a burst of speed and got out of the group of infighting that stalled out near the brass doors. Most new entrants avoided the growing brawl, but others charged proudly forward, excited to test their mettle in battle. It all seemed very strange to Randidly. Defeating opponents at this time was almost pointless. There were far too many people to make a dent in the number. Randidly decidedly followed the growing streams of people running around the giant central building, heading for other stages. The stage immediately outside of the brass doors already had at least 10 people atop it, and they were battling fiercely. Randidly paused for a second, examining them, and turned away. Some of those people, they even gave Randidly pause. There were definitely opponents here that would give Randidly trouble. Their speed and the way they used their spears were imaginative, and the fact he could notice these things in just a cursory examination proved they definitely possessed talent. There were even a few individuals that used spells, producing spears of earth from the ground to attack other contestants. He made a note to avoid them, but another part of him began to burn, wanting to join the foolish rush, seeking a challenge. In addition to obtaining the qualification to go on to the actual tournament, Randidly wanted to test himself here. He forced that instinct to take a back seat for now. The battle was 2 hours long. There was no need to seek out trouble so quickly. Besides, the situation was descending into madness as more and more fights broke out by the area around the first couple stages. As Randidly glanced to the side, he noticed two contestants separate and catch up to him, one coming up on each side. He sighed inwardly, but made no move to attack them. He'd already grown tired of this type of activity. And just like he predicted, they attacked, launching themselves, spears darting for his ribs with a grace that surprised Randidly. The speed was almost too much for him to take. Congratulations, your skill haste has grown to level 49. Because he knew the attack was likely coming, he activated Empower and Haste, funneling power into Spear Phantom's footwork. With two steps, he avoided their blows and appeared behind the first opponent, sending a roundhouse kick at his back. Strangely, that man swiveled, avoiding the blow, and slammed the butt of his spear into Randidly's surprised face. Grunting, Randidly stumbled backwards and they rushed in.
Don't underestimate me!
The one Randidly attempted to kick yelled furiously. An old, familiar spark of anger rose within Randidly, hungry and vicious. He had originally been running without his spear out in order to attract less attention, but it appeared that backfired. These people held too much fucking focus on the spear. Randidly produced his slender spear and stepped with Spear Phantom's footwork, appearing between the two. They responded well, raising their weapons, but the nearest one was no match for the speed of Phantom Thrust. It ripped off half his neck, and he fell gurgling to the ground. Congratulations, your skill Phantom Thrust has grown to level 68. The efficacy of the strike left Randidly briefly stunned. Due to the aggression the attacker held in his approach, Randidly subconsciously assumed he would be able to dodge his strike, to have his throat torn out. His friend pounced, pressuring Randidly to either step on his fallen companion or risk losing his fighting stance. The lines around Randidly's face tightened into a look of consternation.
After you ambushed me together, you treat him like a tool? Why the hell are you so...
Congratulations, your skill, Eyes of the Spear Phantom, has grown to level 46. Randidly saw it, as he struggled to place his feet while the one assailant stabbed wildly. The gray splotches on the skin of both his opponents, the sweaty desperation of their hands and eyes...
their clear embrace of a kill-or-be-killed mindset. This is Tellus, a civilized world, Randy's jaw clenched. Because just like me, if they fail, they'll lose everything. They would pay any price to win. Roaring, the other charged. Randy used a mana-strengthened sweep to pick him up and throw him high into the air. Due to the angle, the man spun wildly and couldn't regain his composure before he smashed into the ground with a sickening crack. Other contestants just swerved, avoiding the battle, and at the same time eyed Randidly with glittering glances that infuriated him even more. Randidly's shoulders rose and fell as he struggled to control his racing heart. Compared to facing off against monsters, this whole situation was deeply disturbing. To the point that when he looked over to the first of his victims, the hatred in his eyes set Randidly off. He stomped over to the man whose throat he ripped out and glared down at him. "Were you really in such a rush to die?" The man laughed, but it sounded more like gurgling, and said something that incensed Randidly even further.
"Better to die holding a spear than to hide and never advance towards my destiny."
In a very anticlimactic way, the man's eyes dulled and his head fell back. Extremely human, crimson blood flowed out, seeping out around the man's body. Randidly spared a glance for the other man, who struggled to move with his shattered collarbone, mewing weakly. The area around him seemed to spin. Randidly looked down at his hands, beginning to hyperventilate. He killed someone again. Well, likely two individuals. There was no way the second would survive, considering he was likely already suffering from the beginnings of ether sickness. Why the hell didn't classes on Tellus prevent it from happening? The shouts of battle across other portions of the arena broke him out of his fugue state. Randidly shivered one last time and carefully wiped blood from the tip of his spear. He took several halting steps toward the ascending platforms. After 10 steps, his gait settled back to something like normal. He gratefully passed over control to his ghost hound persona, who boiled with a deep fury at the desperation of the lower class in this world. Being mad in the moment was easier. Easier than reckoning with where he fit into the grand scheme of things. Although Randidly had killed many things since the system had come to Earth, and watched many creatures, including humans, die, this moment would stay with him for a long time. Part of it was the almost glee with which these people ran towards their fate. Part of it was the acknowledgement that his power was legitimate, even here, at least at this level. Part of it was how red the blood staining the ground was. As the blood drained, Randidly had an abrupt vision of thousands of people coming here to die, their blood flowing down through the boats beneath them until it reached the water. So much blood that the water in the surrounding area would slowly become stained orange, an eternal testament to the dried iron pumping out of dying bodies. Randidly didn't know if this was accurate, but the image helped him understand the people of this world, and a lot of the things Shawl and Divot said in passing clicked together. Here, following the path of the spearmen towards mastery of the spear and personal power, was everything. If Randidly wanted to succeed here and bring honor to Shawl's style in order to repay him for all that he had done, there was only one way: to display power. His eyes burning with rage, Randidly strode forward, leaving the other man to die on his own. Fine. He would smash these idiots apart and teach them to value their own lives, or they would die fools by his spear. Randidly could care less at this point. Chapter 46. The grand melee was an event almost all of Katal came out for, and Claptrap was no exception. The administrators of the event opened the general challenge cells and cleared them out, so those without the money or status to make it to the central viewing tower could view the melee by running around through the cells. As per the usual, the merchants moved as a band, heading towards the highest and largest of the cells, creating a tightly packed special market where each of the merchants brought their most prized wares, sold at special prices. For Claptrap's part,
He brought several finely made pieces of armor, as well as the 3 bracers engraved by the ghost hound. If he could make a sale of these today.
Ah, Claps, my boy, you came too? Ho, ho, ho! 'Tis a good thing our stands are so far apart, otherwise I would worry about you stealing some of my customers with your big city acumen.
His face red, Claptrap faced the speaker, an extremely fat merchant with a well-oiled beard, who styled himself Uncle Izzy. The space behind Uncle Izzy was filled with a varied spread, where every item of armor appeared to be a precious treasure that would be the valued possession of the current master of a style. It was infuriating. Uncle Izzy was Claptrap's main competition, and Claptrap hadn't been able to best him in a single category since he'd come to Catal.
Mr. Izzot, it's good to see you're doing so well, Claptrap said woodenly.
Izzot's eyes narrowed, though his smile remained stubbornly in place.
Ho, ho, ho! No need to be so formal. Call me Uncle Izzy, everyone does. Are your servants coming later, bringing your wares? Why is it that you only have a small satchel at your side?
Claptrap bit his lip. One of the things that annoyed him about Izzot is he insisted on never using an interspatial ring to store his wares. Instead, he paid servants to physically carry around the armor in boxes in a show of wealth. The amount of spare coin the man had was maddening. Embarrassed, Claptrap left Izzot to chuckle at his retreating back. When Claptrap arrived at his space, his heart sank further. Although he reserved it so far in advance, why was it so small? It was the size of a child's desk, with barely enough room for him to display 5 or so pieces of armor, with him hunched behind them. Worst of all, the stands on either side of him were large and splendid, covered in fine red tablecloths and tassel streamers of varying colors, indicating the high support they had from their customers. Claptrap made a mental note to ask the ghost hound for a tassel streamer of his, just to have something to display. It didn't even matter if it was red. It was better to have something than nothing. He removed a high-quality ivory helmet, greaves that sparkled with gold inlay, but in fact were not weakened by the use of the metal, and the ghost hound's 3 low-quality, dirty and beaten leather bracers, and tried to keep a smile on his face for the meandering customers. It was going to be a long day.
Hello, Shawl.
Shawl's gaze slid sideways from his student, who finally became serious about the competition and killed off 2 bottom feeders, to find one of the people he detested most in the world.
Egger, he grunted, his gaze returning to the window.
The less he was forced to interact with this pompous prick, the better.
I am surprised. Who knew you would have the delicacy to train a disciple? I suppose even violence-obsessed idiots have their moments,
Eggers said, stepping closer to Shawl so they were side by side before the window.
I have 20 trained and tested disciples in this farce. I have given them explicit instructions that they are to have 1 of them on each of the stages. We will see whether your disciple will even be able to survive long enough for his tassel to unfurl.
And this was why Shawl detested Egger. Since they were children, they had been rivals in Egger's eyes, until Shawl summarily trounced him. Since then, Egger had bootlicked his way into one of the larger styles, and became a rather well-respected instructor for new disciples, even if he was still a mediocre spear user. At every opportunity, Egger lorded his training accomplishments over Shawl, which was received with stony silence. After all, previously there wasn't really any competition. But now Shawl had a disciple recognized by the world. Although most of the world hadn't realized it yet, there was another spear phantom in training. Normally, Shawl would ignore him, because your ability to train a disciple was secondary to individual strength. Except there was another truth here, that Shawl didn't want to endanger. Shawl had never lost to Egger, in anything. Despite his distaste, Shawl spoke directly.
On this day, a tassel of your iron spear style will be taken by the spear phantom style. I will wager...
Shawl paused, considering his opponent's financial straits. He removed an old spear from his ring,
a huge, almost 3-meter-long monstrosity forged of obsidian. It glittered black even in darkness.
The spear of the devourer.
Egger's eyes paled, and Shaul experienced a certain satisfaction. All wondered how Shaul's duel with the devourer had gone. Shaul refused to speak of it. The fact he had the devourer's spear could only mean one thing. Shaul enjoyed the expression on Egger's face as he did some quick calculations over the worth of such a spear and the fear and panic in Egger's eyes when he realized what a large bet it was. Strangely, his face stilled and he smiled.
All right. I will bet this hunk of dragon heart ore, as well as a bit of information.
Sneering, Shaul started to deride Egger, not even wanting to hear the information. Although the ore was valuable, it was nowhere near as valuable as the spear of the devourer. But Egger continued speaking and Shaul froze.
I'll tell you the location of Lucretia.
Shaul's eyes darkened.
It's a deal,
he hissed, turning back to the melee with fiery eyes. Randidly passed stage after stage, his brooding eyes taking in the vicious struggles going on at each location, where more and more people with ideas like his would break off, swarming to the lesser populated stages, hoping to see how well they would stack up against the competition. Randidly continued to jog around the periphery, not to restore his condition, because he'd almost instantly regained the stamina he lost in his little fight, but because the heat in his chest was slowly cooling to a bubbling anger, preparing to blow up again. At the moment, he was unsatisfied by the large crowds he ran by. Their desperation made him sick to his stomach. Still, the time limit of the melee was soon approaching. Such was the size of the location, he'd been jogging for almost 20 minutes and still hadn't reached the opposite side of the arena. It was simply too large, more a small island than a boat. Although there was already a large cluster of people gathered around the current stage randomly approached, he was sorely tempted to stop and set up shop. Again, that flicker of rage made him grind his teeth, and in order to avoid killing all of these spear users, randomly continued to run. As he did so, he noticed a slim young woman with spiky red hair shadowed him, not coming too close, but also clearly following the same path as him at the same speed. His temper flared and he pushed it down. It wasn't yet clear what this woman's intentions were, if she planned some sort of vengeance for the two people Randidly killed. Shaking his head, Randidly put that out of his mind. This world was different. Perhaps killing was just killing here, and wouldn't lead to an endless cycle of revenge. Besides, the young woman wasn't really looking at him with any sort of malice. She had a strange, deliberate intensity to her gaze that set him on edge. It was peculiar. Why would she look at him like this, when they had never met in the past? Perhaps some relationship with Shaul? The distance she maintained was enough that Randidly didn't have any plans to turn and attack her. It would be a waste of time. And there were so many other spear users lurking around. It was best to ignore her for now. A few minutes later, Randidly arrived at the next stage. There were fewer people here, but also, there was only a single man on the platform, surrounded by a dozen bodies. The blood was already dried, and the crowd below milled about nervously. Perhaps the most eye-catching thing about the stage is that the man standing there held two spears, one in each hand, both wet with blood. His grip was casual, his gaze bored, scanning the crowd with open disdain.
You've killed so many to stand on top of their corpses, huh?
The raw arrogance in his slouched stance ignited the rage in Randidly's heart even further. His hands tightened around his spear. Ignoring the dead bodies surrounding the strange man, Randidly picked up speed. Almost instinctively, he activated haste. When he reached the edge of the crowd, he allowed his rage to carry him forward, activating mana strengthening and leapt, sailing through the air and clearing the nervous group of spear users. In a rather ungainly fashion, he crashed onto the stage, sliding on a patch of wet blood. With the assistance of the grace skill, Randidly quickly stabilized himself, then turned to regard the man. He had long hair cascading down his back and over his shoulders.
As Randidly arrived, his eyes narrowed, and he looked at him with a sneer. His skin was yellow, very close to lime green, a bright, vibrant color that almost made him look like a clown to Randidly's eyes.
Are you a fool? I am a disciple of the Thundercrash style. Leave, or your corpse will soon be used to fertilize rice, the man demanded, his eyes flashing.
Randidly grinned, leveling his spear at his opponent. The heat of self-righteousness burned away the rest of his emotions, leaving him streamlined and focused. With a snort, the man waved his hand, and a strange energy flooded the air, smashing towards Randidly. When it reached him, Randidly swayed. It was like thousands of ghost spears surged towards him, each with the speed and ferocity of a lightning bolt. Randidly focused, and the strange spiritual attack warped and shattered, cracking like glass. For a time, there was silence, as the man's expression changed from derision to contemplative. Randidly tightened his grip on his spear, his heart beginning to beat with an increased intensity. Finally, a spear user near his own level. The chance to see how well he stacks up against individuals from a world of the fifth cohort of the Nexus.
You. Who are you? The man asked.
They call me the Ghost Hound.
I am Tartet. It would be a great joy to kill you this day, Ghost. I'm Dian.
Both Randidly and Tartet turned, rather confused. Randidly's eyes narrowed. It was that woman with pointy red hair who followed him for a while. Most annoyingly, she seemed content to produce a pallet from her interspatial ring, lounging on the stage in the corner. As the two men continued to stare, she straightened and frowned at them.
I'll just take the winner. It wouldn't be fair to fight three at a time. Two people would just gang up and kill the third.
Chapter 47. Several seconds passed. What was most annoying was in that same time the crowd appeared to regain some of its confidence, perhaps boosted by the rather odd turn of events. Several spear users edged closer, likely preparing to ascend and join the increasing number of people on stage. Dian flicked her hand. Fresh, wet, and red wounds sprouted from two nearby individuals' necks. She wielded her spear without even an ounce of mercy. The nearby spear users scrambled backwards, and Dian nodded seriously.
I'll keep the trash away. May your battle be long and honorable.
Tartet and Randidly turned to one another, both frowning, but... As Randidly looked at that lemon-skinned idiot, it was hard not to feel his hackles rise. In the same way, Tartet began to sneer as his eyes ran over Randidly's worn leathers and his bare feet. Perhaps there was a smarter way to handle the situation, but both looked at the other and saw a person unworthy of respect. They could not both remain on the stage, allowing the other to persist. In their mind, they needed to fight to demonstrate their own worth, and both knew the other thought along almost the same lines. It did not matter. It was better this way. There was an answer they would only find after crossing spears, and both were determined to find the answer they wanted. Randidly moved first, his grip tight. Although he initiated the attack, Tartet was the one who seemed to arrive first, bursting into a flurry of motion, both spears ripping forward in vicious stabs. Randidly unleashed a phantom onslaught, barely able to keep up with the amount of blows the opposing spear user unleashed. Although Tartet's attacks were stronger, Randidly's were faster and more unpredictable, slashing upwards at weird angles, deflecting the vicious strikes of his opponent. Randidly was forced to use Phantom Onslaught again and again, his stamina rapidly draining. And from the bright fire in Tartet's eyes, it did not seem like he was depleting his stamina at the rate Randidly was. The other had an advantage, and it was slowly pushing Randidly backward. No longer did he have any attention to spare for Dian or the surrounding contestants. There was only this man in front of him, who was infuriatingly competent with his spear. This didn't discourage Randidly. Instead, it made him want to triumph even more. In his chest, the stirrings of that frost and lava energy spread its tendrils through his limbs.
Although he could feel weariness building up, it was nothing compared to the helplessness and fear Randedly started with those months ago. Congratulations, your skill, Struggle, has grown to level 2. Compared to the fear of death, this was nothing. He'd trained for several weeks preparing for this. His spear strikes were accurate and tireless, intercepting and deflecting, constantly struggling against the other's overwhelming power. Although his breathing was heavy, inwardly Randedly was calm. He unleashed another phantom onslaught, focusing all his will on the image of the move. It was unpredictable, endless, eternal, unavoidable. It flooded towards you, unstoppable. Part of the image was based on the very mental attack Tartet had used on Randedly, but it was an accurate picture of what Randedly wanted, those endless, howling spears. It was a small thing, but Randedly felt his spear attacks during the move becoming more ephemeral and numerous, seeming to come from every direction. Congratulations, your skill Phantom Onslaught has grown to level 16. As I expected, having a more concrete result in mind improves the power, Randedly thought, confident in its increased capability. His spear blurred into a half dozen preternaturally quick thrusts. To Randedly's shock, Tartet growled, and his spears began to hum and vibrate. Then he launched his attacks, the spears blurring and unpredictable, but also extremely powerful, so much so that the entirety of Phantom Onslaught was blown away. Luckily, it seemed the unpredictability cut both ways. Although there was a split second where Randedly was defenseless, Tartet couldn't manage to change the path of his attacks, and the vibrating thrusts ripped across his ribs and shoulders, inflicting small gashes but failing to fatally wound Randedly. Hissing, Randedly relied on Spear Phantom's footwork to spin around Tartet, creating some distance. His opponent's reaction was quick, spinning around to rush forward, the spears wildly swinging. His mouth firming into a line, Randedly planted his feet, lowered himself into one of the strange stances taught to him by the old turtle, activated haste, empower, and mana strengthening, and used sweep, his spear whipping around to crash against one of the weird vibrating attacks. The power of those blows was evenly matched, or even a little in Tartet's favor, but the momentum of his attack had been stopped. At least, that spear had been. While Randedly stumbled, shaken and almost unable to grip his spear due to the aftershocks of the collision, Tartet's other spear ripped forward, aiming for his heart. For once, the strange unpredictability seemed to go Tartet's way. Randedly stepped backwards, creating space. Tartet leaped, following. Again, Randedly sidestepped with Spear Phantom's footwork, avoiding the blow, but Tartet kept on him, his eyes burning, barely losing any time. There was something about him, a pervasive feel to the air, a hunger. His spears were hungry, and that feeling infused the entirety of his movements. Randedly's eyes narrowed. This was a skill set. A complete one accompanied by a very powerful image of how it should function. Its effect was obvious, so much so that even Randedly recognized it relatively quickly. For a moment, Randedly considered using a spell, but he pushed that down, his mouth quirking up into a grin. He would not be able to live with himself if he was walking upon this path only to willingly leave it.
Then let's see which of our resolves can carry us further, Randedly whispered, his feet moving in a strange, profound way.
Of all the things Shaul had seen of his, he had only received a compliment on one of them. That, in terms of running away, he could be considered to have talent. This was the Spear Phantom, the warrior who could perfectly control his positioning in battle. Randedly moved to the side and Tartet followed, accelerating. Again, Randedly slid out of the way, and Tartet was forced to twist and leap in a new direction. Randedly was already dodging, moving out of the path of those wild spears. Now, Tartet roared aloud, his eyes scrunched and furious. They twisted and turned, one constantly following the other, their speed slowly increasing. Strangely, Tartet managed to maintain his momentum, building in intensity until his tendons and muscles strained and thrummed, throwing him back and forth, turning on a dime. But Randedly was more impressive,
and he felt himself steadily honing the edges of his skill utilization, the utility of these steps in controlling this space. Tartet wasn't an opponent to pay attention to feints, though randomly felt those too, the infinite possibilities, the steps leading across 1,000 different paths. First haste, then empower, and now mana strengthening. He used all of his passive skills, pushing his speed further and further, leading Tartet on a wild chase. It was obvious to Randidly that Tartet couldn't handle the speed for much longer. There was a hair of hesitation during the turn where there wasn't before, as his opponent struggled to keep his feet while they danced back and forth. But Randidly's stamina and mana depleted just as rapidly, limiting how long he could continue like this. Or it would, if not for. His expression remained placid. Even as his fury burned hot and proud in his chest, he drew 300 stamina from the rings on his fingers, upping the speed a little bit more with empower and haste, appearing behind Tartet and finally attacking with a phantom thrust. For a second, Randidly thought the attack would connect without a hitch. But Tartet spun weirdly, causing the attack to only gouge a chunk of flesh from his forearm, while he positioned himself with one spear held high and angled downward, the other low and angled upwards. Before Randidly could react, those spears snapped like the jaws of a wolf, one ripping a gash in Randidly's thigh, the other digging a deep hole in his shoulder. Just as quick, they pulled back into that position and sprung forward, the hunger that pervaded his spear style, howling, wanting more. Randidly had already activated Phantom Half-Step several times in a row during that split second, teleporting himself some distance away. He had himself so far away that he was off the stage and tumbled into the crowd. Shit! Randidly's eyes bulged as he attempted to recover. It was a little too late for that. His fall knocked some individuals over, splattering them with his blood. They yelled first in shock and then in anger, and regained their feet and rushed him, spears raised. They were like bottom feeders, avoiding the strong, but content to attack the weak. Randidly didn't spare them a glance. Instead, he was staring at Tartet. After Randidly retreated rapidly backwards, Tartet sneered down at him and turned away. With a clear dismissal, Tartet walked cautiously towards Dian. From his jaunty walk, he sought a greater challenge. The disappointment in Randidly's chest was hot and fresh as he lay in the dirt, and strangely familiar. It was the same feeling he'd gotten when he conceded the match against Donnington's classers. It was the bitter truth that his spear skills alone were not enough for him to win here. The monster in his chest that craved power had been bested. Although he truly had some talent when it came to dodging, using Spear Phantom's footwork, his spear work hadn't come together enough for him to inflict damage with his attacks. He had never hoped to be perfect. He just wanted to be enough. Some opportunistic spear users around him surged closer, thrusting their weapons, faces gleeful and vindictive. Randidly ignored them, his pulse pounding in his ears. He wanted this to go differently. He wanted his spear arts to grow through battle, becoming peerless in a single day. I'm a dumbass. His fists clenched. This was a lot like the Donnington challenges all over again, but he had been even harsher on his inclusion of moves. And when it came down to it, the only thing holding him back was his pride, not fear of killing. This challenge would turn out very, very differently. I've never been fixated on one method of fighting, but because I embraced whatever I've needed, I survived. And next time, things for my enemies never went smoothly. Each surviving breath is another lesson. Each second alive is another step forward. With blazing eyes, Randidly activated agony, which ballooned outward, turning those gleeful faces into stunned and stupefied expressions as pain seared through their nerve endings. A dozen phantom thrusts ripped out, maiming the briefly stunned spear users around him. Congratulations, your skill superiority has grown to level 6. Some of the others were able to withstand the pain, but fear filled their eyes. Dropping all pretenses, Randidly drew several potions, one health, one mana, and 3 stamina, and drank them all, putting him closer to optimal condition. Blood continued to pound wildly in his ears, his flesh slowly closing, and the bleeding from the deep gash in his thigh ceasing. The ether in his chest pulsed furiously. For the first time, Randidly felt his own grasp. He called, and ether came, creeping through his veins. He didn't understand the details, but somehow he knew he wasn't limited by Telus's sick scrum from liquid life. Still, he would do his best to pay his debts, because that's the sort of man Randidly Ghosthound was. Fine, Randidly growled, hopping back up onto the platform. Let's play for keeps. Chapter 48. Tartet slowed and glanced over his shoulder. Randidly noticed the second agony's range extended to the man, because his face immediately tightened in discomfort.
You're a mage, Tartet whispered,
crossing his spears defensively in front of him. Randidly didn't bother to answer, never pausing in his stride, his spear spinning slowly. With the addition of mana skills, Randidly had no doubt he would be able to handle this challenger, and likely all of those bottom feeders. He wondered why he had been too timid to do this in the beginning. This sort of power was exactly what the people of this world wanted. He should have recognized it from the beginning, based upon the strange tradition of tassels. It was time for this place to bear witness to the ghost hound. Before Randidly could attack, a strange chime rang out, filling every corner of the arena. A voice echoed, a low, calm male voice, who seemed almost bored with his words.
We have reached the one-hour threshold of the qualifier for the regional tournament. At current, 23% of the contestants have been eliminated, either by withdrawing or otherwise.
There was a long moment of silence before the cold voice continued, still bored.
There are currently 21 individuals remaining alive across the 10 stages. As a show of their accomplishments, their tassels will be displayed over the stages on which they stand, until they are defeated.
On cue, long poles slid out from the central tower, carrying with them a number of tassels between 1 and 3. The one above Randidly's stage had 3. His own, a rich emerald with gold lettering, a disgusting-looking yellow tassel with black letters that belonged to Tartet, and the final tassel, just as strange and eye-catching as Randidly's, was red-violet. The name of the contestant and style were written in a sickly white. After a few seconds to consider the strange concept of tassels, Randidly lowered his gaze. His eyes narrowed. It was time to fight. Tartet was still gazing upwards, his eyes shocked and slightly vacant. Randidly glanced around. It seemed everyone was shocked by this announcement. Was it his emerald causing trouble again? Well, it didn't matter. He resolved himself to taking all of the attention, so this little extra was nothing. He would blow away all resistance with force. I'll say this once. I'm not holding back any longer. It's very possible you will die to my mana skills, Randidly remarked coldly, and Tartet looked down, his eyes focusing.
Why are you and her together?
Tartet mumbled, raising his spears, some of his fighting spirit coming back to him. Sensing that some of Tartet's reaction was actually to the other tassel, Dian's, Randidly regarded the girl. And it was a good thing he did. The head of a spear flashed in front of him, approaching as fast as a biting snake. Randidly jerked his head to the side, narrowly escaping with a small scratch. Growling, he hopped backwards, but as he made to land, his feet wouldn't obey him, and he tumbled onto his back, a strange numbness suffusing his body. Perhaps the snake metaphor was too apt. The familiar stiffening of poison worked its way through his joints, along his bloodstream.
So, my target was you.
Randidly could barely raise his head, but the voice was female, and the soft footfalls from the location where Dian had been standing revealed her.
To think it would end like this. Die miserably, and let this cycle of revenge end forever.
Diane raised her hand and flicked her fingers. As she did, Randidly finally saw her weapon. It seemed to be more whip than spear, a long, ropey coil that ended in a vicious, sharp, and poisoned spearhead. And at that moment, with his body barely responding to his commands, the spearhead whistled towards Randidly's heart. When the tassels were revealed, the area in the viewing tower around Shaw fell silent. Egger's expression turned nasty, as only four of the stages contained the tassel of the iron spear style. Which even Shaw had to admit was something of an accomplishment, even if only the non-core disciples of the style were sent out. But as Egger finally saw the tassel with the spear phantom style written on it, and the tassel next to it,
"Vampirus took a disciple," Egger said, gasping.
It had been news to Shaw, too. But none would fake their association with that pariah of a style. Even before Shaw acted, the spearmen school turned against them.
"It appears," Shaw said slowly, "that the line of Vampirus the Devourer has not yet ended."
It was perhaps fate, Shaw reflected, that he'd bet Vampirus's spear earlier with Egger. A heavy fate now on the shoulders of his inexperienced disciple. It would be a trial, but no great spear was ever forged without heat and flame. Strangely, Shaw found himself smiling. Even though obtaining information on Lucretia rode on his peculiar disciple he'd found lost and classless in one of the fiercest dungeons near Katal. Even though the Devourer would not lightly take a disciple, and it seemed very possible this small girl hid even more secrets on her body. Besides, even if Randidly lost, Shaw wouldn't lose hope. He would kill Egger and force the information he wanted out of him, and damn the consequences. So Shaw smiled, because for the first time in a long time, Shaw found what direction he should be heading. The whip spear rapidly advanced towards Randidly's body. Even with his prodigious regeneration and poison resistances, he wasn't able to muster more than the most flailing and ungraceful movement. It must truly be a powerful poison contained on the edge of that blade. His eyes narrowed, and Randidly did something he wouldn't have thought he would ever do in an actual battle. He summoned a root avatar. He pressed as hard as he could with his mana, and roots erupted out of the ground, twining and spinning upward, forming a trunk, a torso, arms, and the spear before the opponent's weapon arrived. And it simply stood there as the spearhead sunk harmlessly into its chest, before ripping its roots out of the ground and advancing with mechanical steps toward Dian.
"No matter how you struggle, it will be short," Dian said. "That poison would reduce anyone without the poison-resistant skill to a corpse in minutes. Even with that skill, someone who didn't have it at least level 20 would be weakened for days."
"Congratulations, your skill poison resistance has grown to level 17. She stretched her whip spear out, and Randidly noticed the rope was covered in thin blades. She threw it forward, and the weapon ripped the root avatar in half and continued, determined to pierce his chest. The avatar did not really have any weaknesses. As opposed to being weakened by being cut in half, it was now able to move in two different directions. The roots that previously made up the legs exploded upwards, grabbing the spear whip and pulling it downwards, bringing it crashing to the ground. The torso pulled itself along, heading towards Dian. Tartet, who had been watching up to this point, stepped forward.
"I do not like interfering in another's duel, but you are weak, Ghost Hound. For that, I sentence you to death."
Abruptly, Tartet stopped speaking, his eyes widening. Tartet stumbled backwards, spitting up blood, a fist-sized hole in his chest. Randidly's incinerating bolt obliterated his left lung. The sizzling projectile had shot out too quickly for him to react. Dian's advance forced Randidly to turn his attention away before he could send more than a spearing roots to finish him off.
"I tried to warn you, and I don't dare hold anything back right now. Damn it, I just need to move."
"Congratulations, your skill struggle has grown to level 3.
Even now, the insidious, nauseating pain of the poison spread through his body, becoming more pervasive with each beat of his heart. But Randidly's body was marshaling its own defenses. Not only was his regeneration already quite high, he also possessed several passive skills boosting his resistance and regeneration. He was quite weak, and that didn't look like it would change soon, but he could at least move. To make himself more mobile, he created a thick root and pulled it out of the ground and wrapped it around his waist. More roots sprung, twining around his arms and neck, keeping his body in position. What he saw made him frown. Although the Avatar's torso crawled valiantly towards Dian, by the time they crossed paths, the location of the spear's cut had begun to fester and foam, and nearly all of the body had withered to nothing. That poison acted so quickly on just the roots. What kind of corrosive deformation was it doing inside of him?
Thinking about it will only make the pain worse. For now, focus on what you can do.
And anyway, Randidly had more pressing issues. Dian slowed as she approached, avoiding the waves of spearing roots he sent up towards her legs. She was soon covered in dozens of tiny scratches, but was able to use her quick reflexes and speed to move past most of them, advancing rapidly. Gritting his teeth, Randidly shakily raised his hand and unleashed an incinerating bolt. His blood seemed to boil in his veins, leaving every part of him shaking. The pain was nearly unbearable. But at the same time, the Ghost Hound's grim will seized upon his body and held firm. Congratulations, your skill Poison Resistance has grown to level 18. Congratulations, your skill Bacterial Regeneration has grown to level 29.
I just need a little bit of time, then I'll show you what you gain from surviving in impossible situations.
Unfortunately, because she'd seen him use the skill on Tartet, Dian was able to spring to the side, buying Randidly a few short seconds, but hardly giving him a serious solution to stop Dian's advance. Seeing no other choice, Randidly closed his eyes and focused inward. He let all the weakness and frustration and fear creeping through his heart to rush together and form a ball, a hot and violent core within him. This woman truly wanted to kill him for reasons he didn't understand. She had ways of reducing him to an invalid, but still... But still, he would not stop walking forward, every breath a chance, every second a step. As he opened his eyes, Randidly wasn't surprised to find Dian had crossed almost all the distance to him. In that time, the strange ether in his chest condensed into a fist-sized grenade, and he pulled on the proverbial pin.